Hello, I'm Brandon House, and welcome to the Worldview Weekend Hour. This is part five, and the final part, of Religious Trojan Horse Exposed. In our last programs, we have looked at the various components that are making up this religious Trojan horse. We didn't look at all the components, but we looked at many of them, and they included false prophets and apostles, counterfeit spiritual warfare, counterfeit signs and wonders, counterfeit spiritual revival, Christian mysticism goes mainstream, Christian shamanism and the law of attraction, ecumenicalism, all religions coming together as one, and compromising the gospel for the sake of liberty. And tonight we'll pick up with our final components of this religious Trojan horse. Now, before we do, however, I do want to back up because I forgot to show you one clip that you definitely need to see that would have fit under the title of Mysticism Goes Mainstream. This is a video clip of neo-Calvinist Mark Driscoll. Now, why do we use the word neo-Calvinist? Neo means new, and they are a new kind of Calvinist. John MacArthur refers to them often as young, restless reformed. Young, restless reformed. Well, I call them neo-Calvinists. There are many within the Calvinist movement that are embracing social justice, which is socialism. They're embracing things like dominion theology, the idea that we need to bring the kingdom of God on earth. They would deny, many of them, that they embrace dominion theology, but in theory, that's what they're embracing when they talk about making the invisible kingdom of God visible on earth. Well, that doesn't happen until God actually brings his kingdom. Yes, I do believe in the invisible kingdom of God, but we don't bring it visibly on earth. We don't do that. God will do that at his second coming. So many of them that make up the neo-Calvinists, as we call them, believe in social justice, dominion theology, or at least the idea or the practice of it, regardless if they want to take that title or not. And many of them buy into mysticism, the idea that we're to get extra biblical revelation from God. I believe the Bible is very clear that we're not to add to the Bible. We're not to take from the Bible. We see that in Revelation, Deuteronomy, Proverbs. Well, if God is speaking outside of his word, then guess what? The canon is open, as we've discussed many times. So these are the hallmarks that make up these neo-Calvinists, just a few of them. Again, social justice, the idea of dominion theology, or making the invisible kingdom of God visible on earth by ending poverty, decreasing the crime rates. That is not the goal, the job or the goal of the church. We're to take care of our own inside the New Testament church, the widows, the orphans, those who have fallen on financial hard times. But nowhere, not one verse in the Bible tells us we're to go out and end poverty in the world. We preach the gospel, that changes lives, and oftentimes poverty is a direct result of sin and it is a direct result of moral relativism. And many times when people come to saving faith in Jesus Christ, they change their behavior. They change their ideas, their values, their worldview. And thus, many of them get out of poverty. Fixing someone's financial condition is going to do them no favors when they stand before the Lord on Judgment Day. One of my friends in Iowa says that what these folks are doing is giving people water bottles on their way to hell. So this idea that we need to go out there and be involved in conquering what Rick Warren calls the five giants, the five big problems of the world, like poverty and illiteracy and pandemic diseases. The big problem of the world is sin. But many of the neo-Calvinists are now involved in these movements that I'm explaining to you, and they're very dangerous. What about those who say, well, how about Matthew 25, where Jesus says, I was naked and you clothed me, or I was thirsty and you gave me water. Folks, that is talking about the brethren. He says, these my brethren in Matthew 25. He's talking about believers. He's talking about believers that minister to believers in the name of Jesus who are being persecuted for their faith, and particularly during the tribulation. Look at Matthew 25 in context. We cannot apply it to the unsaved poor in our culture. So these are the neo-Calvinists. Not all of them that embrace this, by the way, are Calvinist. Many of them, though, today are, like Tim Keller, many of them like Mark Driscoll, Steve Childers, and others. Well, here is a video clip, like I said, I should have played for you some time ago, of Mark Driscoll talking about getting extra biblical revelation, visions. I think this is nothing more than mysticism. I think Phil Johnson had it right when he referred to it as pornographic divination. Watch this clip by Mark Driscoll.
Some people actually see things. This may be gift of discernment. On occasion, I see things. I see things. Like I was meeting with one person, and they didn't know this, but they were abused when they were a child. And I said, when you were a child, you were abused. This person did this to you, physically touched you this way. He said, how do you know? I said, I don't know. It's like I got a TV right here, and I'm seeing it. I said, no, that never happened. I said, go ask him. go ask them if they actually did what I think they did and I see that they did. And they went and asked this person, when I was a little kid, did you do this? And the person said, yeah, but you were only like a year or two old. How do you remember that? They said, oh, Pastor Mark told me. Okay. I'm not a guru. I'm not a freak. I don't talk about this. If I did talk about it, everybody'd want to meet with me and I'd end up like one of those guys on TV. But some of you have...
You know, just stop right there. He says, I don't want to talk about this, but he is talking about it. Okay, let's keep going.
But some of you have this visual ability to see things. There was one woman I dealt with. She'd never told her husband that she had committed adultery on him early in the relationship. I said, you know, she's sitting there with her husband. I said, you know, I think the root of all this, I think Satan has a foothold in your life because you've never told your husband about that really tall blonde guy that you met at the bar. And then you went back to the hotel and you laid on your back and you undressed yourself and he climbed on top of you and you had sex with him and snuggled up with him for a while. And deep down in your heart, even though you had just met him, you desired him because secretly he is the fantasy body type. I said, you remember that place? It was that cheap hotel with that certain colored bedspread. You had sex with the light on because you weren't ashamed and you wanted him to see you. You wanted to see him. She's just looking at me like, I said, you know, it was about 10 years ago. See everything. She says, she looks at her husband. He says, is that true? She says, yeah. He was 6'2", blonde hair, blue eyes. Yeah. And there are some people that have real gift of discernment, and I'm not saying I'm 100% always right with it, but some of you are going to have gift of discernment, and you need to learn to grow in the use of that gift. And sometimes people will hear things, sometimes people will see things.
So now the gift of discernment includes the ability to get pornographic visions. That's the new discernment definition, huh? You know, I asked Dr. John MacArthur about this when he was a guest on my radio program in June of 2012. He had a very good comment. He said, Brandon, Mark Driscoll's wrong. God is not giving people pornographic visions and dreams. Yet, my friends, this is part of this mysticism going mainstream within evangelicalism today. I think it is part of the religious Trojan horse. All right, now let's pick up with our next point. Dominion theology. What is dominion theology? Well, I just talked about it briefly a while ago. It's this idea that we are to bring God's kingdom here on earth. Now, there are many within evangelicalism today that buy into this kingdom theology, our kingdom now. Many within the Word of Faith, the New Apostolic Reformation buy into this, but not all of those that buy into dominion theology are part of the New Apostolic Reformation or of the Word of Faith. In fact, there are many that buy into this that would reject the heresy of the New Apostolic Reformation or Word of Faith. But indeed, dominion theology is what brings a lot of these groups together, where they would disagree theologically, but they would come together on the idea that we need to take dominion of the culture, of the nations, establish God's kingdom on earth, and then he will come here on earth. He will reign and rule. In fact, let me show you a video clip. This is of a guy named Wyatt speaking at the church of prophet, if you will. That's what people think he is. He's not. He's a false prophet, if anything. Prophet Rick Joyner. Wyatt is speaking at the church of Rick Joyner, Morningstar Ministries. Listen to Wyatt describing dominion theology.
When Jesus comes back, he is not going, the head from heaven is not going to come back and rest upon a body that looks like it has the maturity of a babe. He is not going to come back and rest upon a body that has the maturity of a teenager. It says that we all will grow up into him who is the head. We'll grow up into such a maturity that the Father will look down from heaven and say, there is a mature, overcoming bride operating in the earth that is operating at the same level of authority, love, power, character that my son operated in when he walked the earth.
Okay, by the way, let me just stop right there. What he's talking about right now, overcoming bride, Joel's army, Omega children, whatever they want to call it. We've discussed that in other programs. This church that they talk about where Jesus will come in his church before he comes for his church. And then this overcoming bride or Joel's army or manifested sons of God will be able to do the very things Jesus did when he walked on earth. Raise the dead, judge the church, judge the world, be sinless, multiply food. That's what he's talking about. Then once this Jesus, this secret coming of Jesus happens, Jesus comes in his church before he comes for his church. Once this secret indwelling of Jesus comes, we are then able to do these supernatural things. We're able to take dominion, they will teach. Then, he's explaining, God will finally turn to Jesus and say, I really should have physically go. Remember the idea is Jesus will come in his church before he comes for his church. And they believe back in the 1980s, the New Apostolic Reformation, known as the Kansas City Prophet Movement back then. Remember, it started in the 1930s as the Latter-day Rain Movement. The 1980s, it became known as the Kansas City Prophets Movement. Then in about 1993, I'm now finding a new video clip recently of C. Peter Wagner admitting that he started giving it that name, New Apostolic Reformation, in about 1993. They were teaching, though, back in the 1980s, that the young people then, or the adults then, that their children would be the generation that would be empowered. So they were saying to adults of young kids back in the 1980s, they were saying to those adults, your kids will be that generation that becomes this special overcoming bride, and that generation will help us take dominion and bring the kingdom of God on earth. Let's finish this clip.
And at that time, the Father will say, you can be released. And the head, Jesus, will come down and connect with the fully mature body in the earth. And we will work with Jesus to rule and reign in the millennium. The devil doesn't like this message. He doesn't like this kind of thing. He doesn't like you to be activated. We are to rule, reign, govern, expand, advance, and establish the government of God on the earth. Since the Garden of Eden, the struggle has been, who is going to rule the earth? You are in a war. You do understand that this is about world domination.
All right, let me explain what he's teaching here. They teach, the New Apostolic Reformation, and these folks that believe this, teach that once man sinned, they lost dominion. And now it's our job, or the job of Christians, to get back dominion of the earth for God from Satan. Here's the problem, though. Just because Adam was given stewardship does not mean he was given legal authority over all the earth. So they're confusing stewardship with legal authority. But they believe that because Adam and Eve sinned, they then lost dominion. Now we must battle Satan, and we must bind Satan, and we must take these territories, or the Seven Mountain Mandate, and take back government, law, education, entertainments, arts. And then once we take these seven mountains of cultural influence, then we'll be able to establish God's kingdom on earth. That's, again, not in the scriptures. Let's continue with this clip.
That doesn't mean that we're not supposed to have people within the church infiltrating the top levels of these, you've heard of the mountains, the seven mountains of the influencers of culture. And God is in this, has us in this place of preparatory dominion, getting us into places of influence, because when Jesus comes back and sets his foot down, every government will be overthrown.
All right, here is another guy with the New Apostolic Reformation that many of the new religious right are hanging out with, Lou Engle. Again, he is on staff at the International House of Prayer with Mike Bickle. This is a group, again, that I believe is a theological cult. But here is Lou Engle. By the way, Lou Engle's also met with and been a part of meetings with Newt Gingrich. But here's Lou Engle talking about the Seven Mountain Mandate. Watch this video.
You've seen this, probably seen this, reclaiming the seven mountains of influence. There are seven mountains of influence, could be more, could be less, but the political realm, the business realm, the family realm, arts and entertainment, religion, media, and education. Every one of those mountains is a place of influence. The way you get influence in those mountains is to get the ones that have the ideologies, your ideologies, to the top of those mountains.
All right, that's Lou Engle. Now let me show you just a little video clip of James Dobson and Shirley Dobson with Lou Engle at, I think this is his, The Call in San Diego a few years ago. I think The Call was in San Diego in 2008. Again, why am I showing this? I'm not showing this to be unkind to James and Shirley Dobson. I'm showing this to show you that many of these people that I believe are a theological cult, that are into dominion theology, many of these other things we've been talking about, are being embraced by mainstream evangelicalism. Watch this clip.
And the way to do that is through prayer. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for caring. Thank you for your love for the Lord, for sending your petitions heavenward, and we're here to join our voices with yours today.
My friends, Many of you have been preparing for the battle here in California.
All right, well, there you go. There's James and Shirley Dobson again at The Call with Lou Engle. That's Lou Engle's event, The Call. He holds them all over the country. And again, I have a real problem with evangelical leaders working in spiritual enterprises with people like Lou Engle, particularly when we know what Lou Engle believes in regards to the New Apostolic Reformation and Dominion theology. And by the way, it has not gone unnoticed by the secular media that modern-day evangelicals are hanging out with these kind of people and their Dominion theology. And in fact, some have referred to those that are pushing this Dominion theology, that desire to take the Seven Mountain Mandate, take the arena of government and arts and entertainment. Some of the media referring to them as the Christian Taliban, if you will, which is a very interesting comment, because you could see where this would be very concerning to some folks in the secular media when you have people like Lou Engle and the New Religious Right and the Word of Faith and the New Apostolic Reformation, many of them who want to go back to Old Testament law, wanting to take over the power centers, have a theocracy, if you will. Now, they would deny that's what they want, but in essence, that's really what they do want. Many of them, not all of them, but many of them wanting to go back to Old Testament law. So Dominion theology is completely unbiblical. Take your Bibles, go over to Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. Daniel chapter 2, verse 44 says, "And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom." Who will set it up? God will. "The God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to another people." So, my friends, God will bring his kingdom. We're not the ones who are going to bring it here on earth. All right, let's look at the idea of the emerging of the left and the right, the emerging and converging of the new religious right and the religious left. Remember,